From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors, and I'm joined today with our legal counsel, Bruce Moyer. How you doing, Bruce?
Very well, Bob. Good to be with you.
Bruce, I would be remiss if I didn't, at the outset, offer my congratulations to you and our national officers on a favorable decision from the fact-finders who basically concluded that the Postal Service was not in compliance with current law relating to the EAS pay consultations.
Yes, we're delighted with the decision and the report and recommendations of the fact-finding panel that reviewed the FY16 to FY19 pay package that the Postal Service had offered to NAPS and that NAPS had rejected and gone on to fact-finding. And the fact-finding panel found in nearly every respect that the pay package with federal law, at least did not comply to the extent that NAPS pointed out as it pertained to the supervisory differential, to pay comparability, and the pay-for-performance plan of the Postal Service. So we were very pleased. Now the Postal Service has 15 days to decide whether to abide by the recommendations of the panel or whether to impart a different. Has to do that in writing and explain why, and we'll be looking very carefully at what the Postal Service does.
And that's 15 days from April 30th.
That's correct. It would be right around the 14th or 15th of May.
Well, again, congratulations. We're not going to be talking about the fact-finding decision during this podcast, but for those of our listeners who would like to learn more, you can go to the NAPS website. I believe that the complete fact-finding decision will be posted if it hasn't been already, as well as comments made by the National Association of Postal Supervisors in relation to the fact-finding decision on behalf of all EAS employees.
That's correct.
Well, let's talk about some legislative news that occurred this week, Bruce, and that is there was a hearing on Tuesday, the same day the fact-finding decision came out, before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. It was on the financial condition of the Postal Service and the need for legislative reform. There were a number of witnesses, including the Postmaster General, Megan Brennan, the president of the National Association of Letter Carriers, a representative from the Postal Regulatory Commission, the CEO of Quad Graphics, one of the largest printers in the United States, as well as a representative from the Cato Institute, a libertarian think tank. One would have thought, Bruce, that this hearing would be the jumping off point for expedited legislative consideration of a bill, or committee consideration of a bill, but that wasn't to be, was it, Bruce?
No, it wasn't, Bob. Typically, a hearing is held as almost as a peg on which to hang a bill that is then introduced soon after the hearing. The hearing represents an opportunity to set out a series of facts or findings that then the bill later introduced responds to and addresses the conditions and the need that arose at the hearing. That course, that predicate that the hearings was intended to serve did not actually come about because of distractions that arose, particularly between one of the lead Republicans on the panel, Mark Meadows, and the Postmaster General, Megan Brennan, and a serious conflict that arose over Meadows' anticipation that the Postal Service would provide a 10-year plan that had promised to provide to Meadows back in January. And here we are several months later, and he complained about his failure to still receive it.
Now, what are the reasons that we've sort of been delaying postal reform up until this point was due to awaiting the release of the president's task force on the universal postal system, which was released in December. Then, as I understand it, as was reflected at the hearing, Postmaster General Brennan had promised to Mr. Meadows, Mark Meadows, one of the lead advocates for postal reform legislation in the previous Congress, a business plan that would project the Postal Service 10 years out. That didn't happen, and clearly Mr. Meadows was sort of miffed at that, at the delay in receiving such a report.
Yes, he was. As we know, there are many players in the postal community, and there are many spinning plates on the stage of the postal world. You recall that the old vaudeville entertainer who would keep plates spinning on a stick. Well, you've got the Postal Service trying to spin its plate, keeping the enterprise going and financially solvent. They were waiting for the plate that was spinning at the White House involving their task force. There was another plate that's been continuing to spin involving rates and rate structure from the Postal Regulatory Commission that will provide a grounding for whatever has to be done in the bill with regard to changes in rates. That has not occurred yet. And then you've got an entirely new ingredient that arose at Tuesday's hearing, this 10-year plan that Mr. Meadows has been expecting, that the Post is not required by law, but it was something that I think he anticipated he could be able to use to bring on more Republicans in support of the bill that he was instrumental in helping to craft 2 years ago, which many call H.R. 756, which after passing through committee unanimously with Republicans and Democrats joining on hands on it, then floundered and never was brought to the floor of the House for a vote. So the reemergence of that bill and Meadows' support for it was reliant upon this 10-year plan, to reliant upon the PRC's finalization of its rate structure. And the task force report, as we've reported in the past, as you've done such a great job reflecting, Bob, reflects good, bad, and ugly proposals.
Yes. Now, about the 10-year plan is not something that is mandated. When I say mandated is the Postal Service doesn't have to enact any or all of the recommendations made in the 10-year plan. It's more like a projected sort of model for the future of what they anticipate based on certain scenarios. So I guess that Meadows was just looking as to what the vision of the postal headquarters was going to be for the future of the Postal Service. And during the question and answer period, he took issue with the sort of anticipation that the Postal Service would recommend another look at delivery frequency, particularly moving to 5-day delivery for letter mail and 7-day delivery for parcels. And he said, and I quote, "That dog won't hunt in Congress."
Yes, it's interesting how the topic arose. The Postmaster General referred to delivery frequency as a component that the plan would be addressing. And Meadows then later returned to that phrase, delivery frequency, and asked if that meant 5-day delivery. And she acknowledged that it did. And that generated a real exchange of critical remarks by Meadows over moving in that direction, that dog won't hunt line, as well as the recognition that Mark Meadows, a North Carolina lawmaker from the western part of the state, the more rural part of the state, reflects the reliance of small communities, rural communities, upon frequent service and delivery, and their disenchantment with moderating 6-day, possibly even 7-day delivery with parcels.
You know, what concerns, I think, a lot of the folks in the postal community now is that we may have moved further away from an anticipated postal bill than we would have been, than we were at the beginning of this Congress, when Meadows made the comment that because of this misunderstanding with the Postmaster General, that he is maybe changed from an advocate for postal legislation and on behalf of the Postal Service to somewhat of a skeptic.
Yeah, and that's not simply a speculative commentary comment that you've just made. That's how he began his initial remarks, in so far as casting himself as a possible departee from the unity that that they had earlier enjoyed due to the delay of the Postal Service in providing the 10-year plan. Hopefully, these sentiments and problems are going to be able to be patched up. But the credibility certainly of the Postal Service was damaged on Tuesday, insofar as prompt responsiveness and candor with one of the chief allies that we've enjoyed working with in the past on postal reform.
What was noteworthy also is that Chairman Cummings, who has had a very close working relationship with Mr. Meadows, as well as Jerry Connolly, the chairman of the Postal Subcommittee, came sort of to the defense of Mark Meadows and really pressed the Postal Service to submit its 10-year plan on it before July 7th, I believe 60 days from the date of the hearing, which if Congress or if this committee does not introduce a bill before July 7th in anticipation of receipt of that business plan, that puts us right to the summer recess before anything could happen.
And Meadows pointed that out during his remarks insofar as the dwindling window of opportunity to be able to move something in the House in this year and as well as over in the Senate. I might also to mention that the relationship that that Connolly and Chairman Cummings have with Meadows, one of friendship and collaboration on postal, and yet on other issues in that very committee. The oversight committee that has one of the broadest oversight jurisdictions of any in the Congress, those gentlemen may well be sparring on other issues that are of a more political nature, involving the oversight of the Trump administration and investigative things on postal. The three of them were working across the aisle, as they say, to try to achieve a favorable outcome here, and they were trying to be the Democrats' best accommodating their Republican friends' desires to secure this plan from the Postal Service.
What's also noteworthy is that when the Postmaster General began her testimony and was agreed to by most folks on the witness panel, is that the Postal Service has serious financial issues. I believe the Postmaster General said that if the Postal Service does not receive any legislative reform in this Congress, it will run out of money. Run out of money by 2024, and if it met the obligations, financial obligations, as currently laid out in law, it would run out of money in 2020. So the delay in postal legislation is not just some academic exercise. It has real consequences for the Postal Service and for its employees.
It certainly does. The situation is certainly urgent. The Congress is in a state of dysfunction that the House nearly needs to be burning, one fears at times, in order for Congress to get its act together and respond with hoses and water power. We're not there, but boy, I tell you, the conditions are certainly smoldering.
I mean, the good news is that Mr. Cummings and Mr. Connolly, and I believe Mr. Meadows, still want to do the right thing and push for responsible, constructive postal legislation. There is legislation that was introduced this week by Congressman Peter DeFazio, to eliminate the obligation of the, basically to repeal the pre-funding obligation. And I believe I heard Meadows say that's not really going to be an issue anymore because everyone's accepted the fact that the Postal Service is not going to pay that obligation. And so we need to move on to other issues. And the committee has the opportunity to do just that.
And there's a recognition that the pre-funding liability is not the only critical factor. It is a major factor contributing to the Postal Service's declining financial condition, but it is not the only one. There was some attention paid as well to the losses that the Postal Service absorbs through its Medicare contributions without seeing any kind of offset in its health insurance needs of its retirees by the lack of integration of 25% of its retired employees. And there was some attention paid to that, but certainly the recognition that there are some challenges to threading that needle.
Yeah, now there was some discussion about the Medicare integration, and there seems to be certain type of latitude in alternatives other than full integration, that is requiring all Medicare-eligible retirees to participate in Medicare, rather to use only retirees, future retirees, and those approaching those who are not yet approaching retirement to be integrated into Medicare, who haven't voluntarily opted in already.
Right, right. So that that would leave those who have already retired, or those who are almost into retirement, would leave them or exclude them from the mandate to participate in Medicare.
And the combination of limiting the liability, calculation of liability, to only those who are imminently going to retire, that is within 5 years of retirement, combine that with a modified Medicare integration that would only cover future retirees, would probably address the liability, the Postal Service's liability, healthcare, unfunded healthcare liability. Now, what was interesting also towards the end of the hearing, Representative Ocasio-Cortez from Queens, one of the firebrands among the freshman class, made a very interesting comment about business plans. While everyone was berating the Postal Service for not having a business plan, she berated Congress for not having a business plan because it was Congress's plan in 2006, which burdened the Postal Service with the pre-funding, which is a major contributor to the financial problems the Postal Service is now confronting. So she suggested that Congress needs a plan. It's not just the Postal Service's obligation to present that plan.
That's right. I thought it was a very reasonable, mature observation that the Congresswoman made, and certainly I think stood her in favor.
Now, also, what was interesting on the panel was, and we forget about this individual because he didn't really make a terribly good case, and that was the representative from Cato Institute who was arguing for privatization. And he was queried by one of the members of Congress as to all the proposals he had for cost cutting to quantify how much would be saved if you privatized the Postal Service, and he was incapable of providing any type of data with regard to cost savings.
It was certainly a lesson in how not to testify. His number one recommendation, the closure of more post offices, he was unable to identify how much the cost savings would be. One member of the panel pointed out, of the congressional panel, a member of Congress on the committee, pointed out that the last time that the Postal Service closed post offices, the savings were negligible, and many of us knew that going in, that was going to be the outcome. Well, here comes Cato right behind that past experience, calling for more closures as though that's going to save the day when it comes to balancing the bottom line.
Also, there was a bit of discussion that sort of emerged from the Cato testimony with regard to the president's task force recommendation on essential versus non-essential mail. being covered by the universal service obligation. That is, only essential mail need be covered. Non-essential mail does not have to be covered by the universal service obligation. And I think it was actually Meadows who suggested, well, if you live in his district, gloves are necessary during the winter, and they are essential. If you live in Hawaii, gloves are not essential. Therefore, they may not, you know, fall under a universal service sort of standard. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's another example of geographic differences, as well as the subjective nature of politics being from where you look at it.
Well, Bruce, that's about all the time we have for today. Reform legislation is going to take some time. I think we can all agree. It's our hope that the Postal Service will be able to satisfy the members of this committee in presenting its business plan in a expedited fashion so we can move on with postal legislation, which admittedly the Postmaster General needs to make the Postal Service viable and to maintain the service that the American public deserves and needs.
Yeah, despite the friction over the delivery of a 10-year plan, the PMG continued to return to her talking points, underscoring the urgency of a reform package and prompt consideration by the Congress. And I think our members out in the field across the country should take into account their continued responsibility to talk with their lawmakers, many of them freshman lawmakers, to educate them about the Postal Service and the need for reform. If we do that, we will continue to be able to build the case and move closer to the finish line.
And for our NAPS legislative advocates, you should know that by the end of this month, Bruce and I will be preparing a webinar on reaching out to your members of Congress while they're at home. And there will be a recess period that they will be at home during Memorial Day and July 4th, which the July 4th break will be right before the postal business plan will be presented to Congress if the Postal Service doesn't submit it earlier. With that, I wish you all have a great weekend. Until next week.